Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Friday, June 5th, and we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, June 4th, 2026. This is episode number 417.
We have a really fascinating mix of topics today. We are looking at a huge spike in failing grades at UC Berkeley, linked to AI usage, a controversial move by the US government to dismantle vital ocean tracking systems, and a massive acquisition in the web development space with Void Zero joining Cloudflare.
Plus, we will touch on a classic internet rabbit hole about the optimal way to tie your shoes and share some sad news about the passing of acclaimed author Marjan Satrapi.
Let us start with what was buzzing at the top of the site yesterday, a piece from the Daily Californian about computer science classes at UC Berkeley. The numbers here are honestly staggering. In spring 2026, over 35% of students in CS10 received Fs, and in CS61A, the fail rate was nearly 11%.
Right. And for context, in the previous 2 years, those fail rates never broke 10%. The department guidelines actually suggest only about 7% of students should be getting Ds and Fs in these lower division courses. So something has drastically shifted, Sarah.
The professors, specifically Dan Garcia and Garija Renate, are pointing to a few converging factors. But the biggest one making waves on Hacker News is the impact of AI, specifically large language models like Claude, ChatGPT, and Gemini. Professor Garcia noted a vast increase in academic dishonesty. Some students were caught cheating outright on take-home exams, but a lot of the failures are coming from students who lean way too hard on AI for their coursework and then completely bomb the in-person exams because they never actually learned the material.
It's the ultimate double-edged sword of these tools. They make you feel incredibly productive, but they can completely bypass the struggle required to actually learn. Garcia quoted a colleague saying, "Confusion is the sweat of learning, and right now students are using AI as a towel so they never have to sweat."
That is a great analogy, and it is not just AI. The professors also noted a severe drop in mathematical preparedness. Students are showing up to optimization classes without a solid grasp of linear algebra. One student even admitted their previous linear algebra class had an open internet, open AI policy.
Which is wild for a foundational math class. The discussion on Hacker News really expanded on this beyond just college students. A commenter named CamelMel had a poignant observation. They said they work with top-tier PhDs and are seeing a rapid decline in their thinking skills, too. They mentioned that many of their colleagues can no longer brainstorm, code, or think deeply without an LLM doing 90% of the work.
That comment struck a nerve. It is this idea of cognitive offloading. Another commenter, Conductor, talked about how they already offloaded basic arithmetic to calculators and trivia to smartphones years ago. But with AI, we are offloading actual reasoning and communication.
Yeah, the communication aspect got really dystopian in the thread. People were talking about the absurdity of using an AI to write an email, only to have the recipient use an AI to summarize it. It becomes machine-to-machine communication, with humans just acting as the middle management. A user named MyWittyName mentioned realizing a friend was using AI to message them, and how hurtful it felt that they were worth the effort to set up a bot, but not worth 3 minutes of actual human typing.
It is a profound shift, Mike. We are optimizing away the friction of communication and learning, but that friction is often where the actual value is generated. It will be interesting to see how universities adapt. Professor Barcia is refusing to curb grades, basically saying the standard is the standard, and if you do not meet it, you fail.
Moving from the classroom to the climate, our next story is a heavy one from Yale Environment 360. The US government is moving to dismantle an ocean observation system made up of over 900 instruments in the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans.
This system is part of the Ocean Observations Initiative. It was deployed in 2016 and was supposed to run for at least 25 years. But now, the National Science Foundation has announced the removal of all in-water infrastructure. This is critical because these sensors track the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or AMOC.
For those who might not know the acronym, the AMOC is the massive system of ocean currents that includes the Gulf Stream. It delivers warmth to Northern Europe and regulates global climate. And scientists have been increasingly sounding the alarm that it might be nearing a tipping point of collapse due to warming oceans.
Exactly. And Helen Finley from the Plymouth Marine Lab pointed out that losing this data means we are navigating a volatile ocean blindfolded. The Hacker News thread was predictably very heated about this. A user named TDB7893 put the cost into perspective. They noted that the maintenance cost per flight hour of an F-35 fighter jet is over $40,000, which is significantly more than a graduate student makes in a year. The cost of basic science is a rounding error compared to military spending, yet it is what gets cut.
A lot of the commenters, like Benzible, argued this is not actually about cost-cutting at all. Retrieving 900 instruments from the deep ocean over the next 15 months is going to be incredibly expensive. It would be cheaper to just leave them there and stop monitoring. They argued this is purely performative politics and a favor to fossil fuel interests.
The psychological and cultural aspect of this was a big theme in the comments. A user named Ching Charles, who lives in rural America, talked about how the choice to use fossil fuels and reject green tech like EVs has become tied to performative machismo. They mentioned that out there, EVs are often mocked as feminine, and driving a loud, smoke-belching truck is seen as tough.
It is fascinating and a bit terrifying how basic environmental data collection gets caught up in the culture wars. Another user, Lopsotric, had a really eloquent take. They described this as a desire for restorative authoritarianism, the idea that people resent the complexity of the world, and they resent the scientists who study and explain that complexity. So if you just shut those people up and turn off the monitors, you can pretend the world is simple again.
That was a brilliant comment. But as they pointed out, the universe does not care about our political narratives. The nation that understands the complex realities of the natural world is the one that will survive and thrive. Turning off the dashboard warning lights does not fix the engine.
Let us pivot to some major industry news. Void Zero, the company behind Vite, Vitest, Rolldown, and Aux, is officially joining Cloudflare.
This is huge for the web development ecosystem. If you do any front-end work today, you probably use Vite. It has become the foundational build tool for nearly every major framework. Vue, SvelteKit, Astro, React Router, they all rely on it. It currently has about 129 million weekly downloads.
And the big reassurance right at the top of the announcement is that Vite and its associated tools will remain open source, MIT licensed, and vendor agnostic. Cloudflare is bringing Evan Yu and the entire Void Zero team on board, and they are committing $1 million to a Vite ecosystem fund to support contributors.
It makes perfect sense for Cloudflare. They want to make their developer platform the absolute best place to build and deploy apps. They noted that the Cloudflare Vite plugin already has over 14 million weekly downloads. With AI-generated code exploding, agents need fast, reliable, standard toolchains to scaffold and test apps, and Vite is the go-to for that. Cloudflare is actually planning to rebuild their own CLI platform entirely on top of Vite.
The Hacker News comments really dug into the business side of this. A user named Valgaz shared some great history about Evan Yu, noting that he originally studied art history and studio art and picked up JavaScript just to show off his work. He built Vue while working at Google because he wanted something simpler than Angular, and the rest is history.
It is a great origin story, but the thread also had a really interesting debate about the venture capital model for open source dev tools. User Yuppie Puppy asked if the standard playbook now is just to build a popular tool, get funding, hire talent, and then pray for an acquire hire because there is no actual revenue model.
Right, and it is a fair question. How do you monetize a foundational open source tool like a bundler? User Sofixa pointed out that being foundational does not mean being monetizable. You really can't charge developers for a build tool in an ecosystem where everything is expected to be free and open.
Which is why an acquisition by a massive infrastructure company like Cloudflare is basically the best case scenario. Cloudflare does not need to make money on Vite directly. They make money when developers deploy those Vite apps on Cloudflare workers. It's a strategic acquisition of the developer experience. It keeps the tool free, pays the maintainers, and funnels users toward Cloudflare's paid hosting and edge computing services.
Okay, time for a classic Hacker News palate cleanser. Sitting high on the front page yesterday with over 500 points was a link to Ian's secure shoelace knot.
I love when these old school web pages surface. If you have never been to Ian's shoelace site, it is an absolute treasure trove. It's just one guy who has dedicated a corner of the internet to the absolute best ways to lace and tie shoes.
The specific knot linked yesterday is his secure knot, which is a symmetrical double loop knot that is practically impossible to untie by accident, but still comes apart easily when you pull the ends.
It is the ultimate engineer approach to a mundane daily task.
We have all been tying our shoes the exact same way since we were 5 years old, usually with the standard bow or the bunny ears method. And here comes Ian, showing mathematically and practically that we are all doing it suboptimally.
It is so satisfying to learn. It takes maybe 10 minutes of practice to overwrite decades of muscle memory. But once you get it, your shoes literally never come untied during a run again. It is the exact kind of hyper-specific, high-utility optimization that the Hacker News crowd absolutely devours.
Finally, we have to end on a somber note today. The community was mourning the loss of Marjan Satrapi, the French-Iranian author and filmmaker who passed away at the age of 56.
She is best known for her autobiographical graphic novel, Persepolis, which details her childhood in Iran during and after the Islamic Revolution. It is an absolute masterpiece of the medium. It brought such a deeply personal, humanizing perspective to a part of history that a lot of the Western world only understood through news headlines.
It really did. Persepolis pushed the boundaries of what graphic novels could achieve in terms of historical and cultural storytelling. It was later adapted into an incredible animated film that was nominated for an Academy Award. 56 is just far too young, and it is a massive loss to the literary and artistic world. The upvotes and respect paid on Hacker News really show how wide her impact was, reaching well beyond traditional literary circles and touching people across the tech community as well.
She will definitely be missed, and her work will absolutely live on. That is going to do it for us today on HN Pod.
Thank you so much for joining us as we unpacked the top stories from June 4th, 2026. If you want to dive deeper into any of these threads, you know where to find them on Hacker News.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the best discussions from the tech world. Until then, keep learning, maybe check your math prerequisites, and have a great day.
See you tomorrow.